Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Big shout out to Bengara. Bengara Premier's first ever visual arts collaboration. Illum is what it's called. And look, we're going to talk and have a chat with Deadly Sister Chantel Lee Lockhart, Bengara dancer. We have her on the line. Chantel, good morning. How are you, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So I'm a Dharawal and Eora woman, born on Wanneroo country in the Hunter Valley, New South Wales.
Yes.
And I've been with Bengara now for 4 years, and I'm excited to be on here today.
Good, fantastic. Congratulations. So we're talking about Premier's first ever visual arts collaboration, Illum. So paint the picture first, and the fact that it's the first ever, I find that hard to believe. Bengara.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting.
Yes.
And it's, so Daryl, he's a bard, visual artist, and we're using a lot of influence from his culture and how that threads through in his artworks, and in collaboration with Francis Rings.
Yes.
Is going to be very, like, the visual side of it is very big, and there's lots of props and big set designs, and we're using a lot of those stories of, like, what it is to connect to country and,
yes,
like, the natural rhythms and how that's been disrupted with colonization and,
yes,
and all of that stuff, which is pretty exciting. And
it paints a picture.
It's pretty exciting for us dancers too, because we get to use other mediums. We're using, like, these LED, 8-meter LED lights, which is pretty exciting and pretty fun to play with. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And we're talking about a national tour, aren't we?
Yeah. So we've got seasons in Sydney. We're going to Perth, Albany, Canberra, Brisbane, Darwin, and then we'll finish our main stage season in Melbourne.
And how many dancers have we got performing on stage at one time?
There is, I think the company is made up of 18 dancers now.
Okay.
And it fluctuates between 16 to 18 dancers.
Beautiful.
So.
Beautiful. And we're talking male and females, and what age groups are we talking?
Yeah. So it's a mix of pretty much half and half, male and female, and we're all between the ages of 19 and early 30s. So it's a wide age range, so pretty cool and pretty nice to collaborate.
Lovely, beautiful. And your story, Chantel, 4 years with Bengara, and what did you do before?
So I started dancing at a very young age. My mum put me in, like, jazz classes.
Okay.
And then I left school when I was 15, and I did full-time ballet in Newcastle at the National College of Dance for 2 years. I got my diploma in dance, and then after that I actually travelled overseas to a contemporary school called Seed in Austria.
Yes.
And I was there for 4 years until COVID, and then
come home
and I didn't dance for a few years, and I did a few things here and there, and then I tried out for the Russell Page graduate program here at Bengara, but then because I didn't get into Bengara, I decided to go to NAISDA. Aboriginal Dance College in Carrion on the Central Coast, New South Wales.
Yes.
And then I came to Bangarra. So it's a bit adventurous, but it's been a good journey.
Good, fantastic. And it's all about the journey and the chapter of your life, fantastic. And now you're on a national tour, Bangarra Premier's first ever visual arts collaboration. Look, it is fantastic. We are storytellers, and you're using the work of dance to tell the story, so which is fantastic. And congratulations with that. Do enjoy the journey.
Thank you.
But I'm noticing you're not coming north to North Queensland, so that's got to be fixed up, my sister Chantelle. You got to bring the mountain to the people up here in far North Queensland, please. So talk to your organisers.
Yeah, we want to come back.
That sounds deadly. But look, enjoy it. As they say, break a leg. Thank you for the yarn,
thank
Chantel.
You.
And big shout out to all the other performers as well, sister.
Will do. Thank you so much. Good to yarn with you today.
Take care, Chantel. Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
A deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn. Chantelle Lee Lockett, her name is, Bangarra dancer, and Bangarra Premier's first ever visual arts collaboration, Illume, it's called, and touring nationally 2025. So all travelling around the country, which is fantastic, and kicks off from the 24th of May, Gadigal Country, at the Roslyn Packer Theatre. So fantastic, at the Sydney as well, Albany, Canberra, looking at the places of Darwin as well, Melbourne. Darwin close, but not Cairns. But there you go. Watch your space. We'll do some yarns there. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. And Yarn Up Strong here with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Too deadly. Yeah, there you go, brother. There you go. That's right. That's my radio name. That's right.
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. We're going viral and the fire is warm. Keep it calm, carrying on. Scotty's latest presser is depressing, so we're tuning into this
approved message from the senator. Bet you are still trying to find me. Out of office message, mahalo from Hawaii. Leadership's not really something that I'm feeling, kid. You maybe should have voted for the other guy behind me. What's the matter, little Aussie Bradley? You're tired? No, everything I own is on fire. Well, your Aussie spirit's lifted and you're still kicking on. Everything's burning.
Yeah,
right. We deserve someone who's a little bit better than it. Ain't no one but this nice and settled. You ain't fit to push the whip, you're back pedaling. You ain't fit to wear the kicks that I'm threatening. I'm real nice, like, and it's not like I miss this nightlife. So good. Yes, alright. If we can't start a house party, start a house fight.
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. We're going viral and the fire is warm. We good little citizens sitting in the bunker, just watching the boss fumble like my befuddled uncle does. We're rocking the lock in, self interred. Watching videos of Jacinda Ardern. Shit, even the Kiwis aren't allowed outside.
Start a house party, start a house fire. Briggs 4 p.m. Chuck Peter Dutton if you see him. To port this, how you feeling? Pandemic's got them reeling, people need to see you leaving. Yeah, footy's on, do it after the weekend. If worst comes to worst, the people come first.
Yeah, but I'm gonna need a purse for the Megatron.
You ain't fit, we don't get near a penny worth. You ain't fit, the leadership is getting plenty worth. Went to hit the store and everything had been bought. They quarantined us all, so we're sitting indoors. And if they're getting on board, I'm pulling this ripcord and ditching this Concord and splitting like John Ford. I'm real nice, like, and it's not like I miss this nightlife.
We're all good.
Yes, alright. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
But you're cool.
Yeah, you're alright. But I'm kinda sick and tired of being inside.
We're all good.
Yeah, we're all smart. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. We're coughing up lungs and the kettle's on. We already burned the world outside.
If we can't start a house party, start a house fire. Start a house party, start a house fire.
Scotty from marketing, standing there shuffling his papers, wondering what Jesus hasn't come to save us. Looking to be the Dutton light, what else is happening?
At least the Ruby Princess has our captain.
Come there, baby, shelter from the storm. Stay the Alpha inside until the bug is gone. But we can still stir shit from the inside.
If you can't start a house party, start a house fire.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
422 416.
Yeah, beautiful voice, Sunny Rita Mills. That's Blue Mountain here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20, Trevor Murray from the Curry. Your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. And we're live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM Bumber Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Well, here it is, this Saturday coming up, the election for the federal federal election. And we're yarning with all the different candidates. And we've got Matt Smith who's come to join us again today, federal Labor candidate for Leichhardt. And we come to have a chat and have a yarn and talk about his movements and his vision. And a very good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Trev. How's things, mate?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, you've been on this program many times. So for our listeners out there, who's Matt Smith?
Ah, well, I'm just a bloke, Trev. No, look, I got to Cairns in 2005, playing for the Cairns Taipans and did that for a few years. Played the NBL for about 10. And then once that sort of finished, I looked around and had some kids and a house. Mm. I'm like, ah.
And this became home.
I live here now.
Thank you.
Moved into community development and sport and rec and just found all these people doing the best they can with the bit of world that they've got and thought, this is the place I want to be.
Yep, fantastic. So saw the light. There it is, living up this way. Now, Leichhardt, a big footprint. You've been doing a lot of travelling up to the north. And when we talk about Cape York and we talk about Torres Strait Island and what have you, and then we talk about a lot of the constituents, our First Nation people. But we've always said that you're white on the outside, black on the inside, brother. So you've mingled with our mob plenty of times. Thank you for the tool of basketball. A lot of our mob love our basketball, love our sports up there. But you delve really well into our community. So tell us about your journey and your campaigning for the North and what's your vision, my friend?
Oh, look, first, I love getting on country and getting in communities. It's a really rewarding place. You know, you go to places like Lockhart, Aracoon, the NPA, Torres Strait Islands, and you feel the culture. Culture is alive, alive and well, and it encompasses everything, every interaction. It's truly beautiful, and it's an honour to get up there and be amongst it, and gives me that little bit of connection to people as well. So I've really enjoyed it. Look, my vision for the Cape, I guess, and Leichhardt more broadly, is one of prosperity and hope.
Sure.
You know, I want to bring more economic development, particularly up to the Cape. One of the things that we've promised in this election is connectivity. So to get the entire Cape, you'll have internet and phone reception wherever you are.
Okay,
and that's
lovely.
That's going to help health outcomes, educational outcomes. It's going to improve safety. Like, I've been trapped on one side of Myall Creek trying to get across to Weipa as the water rises. And I don't have any reception. I don't have enough fuel to get back to Aracoon. It's
and Matt, we're talking the 21st century here.
Oh, mate.
You know what I mean? And this day and age, it's a necessity to have connection.
A human right.
Human right. Yes, thank you.
If you're in trouble and you need to make that phone call, you need to have the confidence that someone's going to get it. It's going to hit the satellite and it's going to get where it needs to go. And I think just for the Cape and the region more broadly, it's a really important step, and it will improve all of those economic outcomes. Like I said, educational outcomes will get better, health outcomes will get better, and it'll open up the Cape to so much more.
Yeah, look, fantastic. I was lucky enough to have in the studio here a couple of weeks ago, Deadly Sister, Melandiri McCarthy.
She's great, isn't
Senator,
she?
Senator, you know, and First Nation Minister, and talking about the $36.2 million going to the Torres Strait regarding the global climate and the sea rising. So, look, that's very, very important. Tell us about your vision there with that.
Well, I mean, I've spoken to many people from Musig and Saibai, and they talk about the inundation, particularly on Musig, how it's starting to impact the cemeteries. And, you know, the old people are starting to wash away. And it must be very hard for Torres Strait Islanders. It's, you know, saltwater people, the ocean that's given so much and is such an important part now becomes a threat.
Sure, exactly.
Like, what does that feel like?
Yeah, exactly.
So these seawalls are about the... it's about building the resilience and the tolerance of the Torres Strait Islands to climate change. Mm. But there has to be more than that. And that's why we've got to take the action on climate change. We've got to get those renewables into the system to reduce that carbon dioxide into the air, which is why, look, it is really important to understand the difference in the two parties in this particular instance, because Labor is moving towards net zero, whereas the Coalition have decided that they'll spend $600 billion on nuclear power.
In
20 years' time, which is going to put an extra 2 billion tonnes of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. It's going to make climate change worse. It's an actual threat to our communities right now. People talk about the South Pacific.
Yeah.
But it's happening in Australia. It's happening in the Torres Strait. It's happening on the Western Cape, you know, where people are losing their lands, their traditional lands and their homes. And we have to stop it.
You can see why they're looking for life on planet Mars. Because they're killing this planet.
Yeah, look... seems like a long way away, Mars. Cold.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Well, here we are living in the best planet on in the universe, and we're not looking after it. So that's so very important. And then when you talk about Leichhardt, big footprint, we're talking about farmers and miners as well. What's your conversation there with farmers and miners?
Yeah, look, farmers have taken a bit of a whack of late, and so are the miners with the tariffs that have been brought in by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to other. Believe it or not, but the connectivity is going to help the miners and the farmers as well.
Thank you, yes.
It's a really good one. The other thing that we've put a lot of money in investment is roads.
Okay.
So $7.2 billion for the Bruce Highway to get our products here and there and everywhere. And there's been there's 30 items now, which when being sold in these rural and remote communities, that are price capped to stop prices being too high for people, but also give that subsidies back to the farmers who are growing the food for us so that they stay, you know, afloat, but, you know, also so that people aren't dipping too far into their pocket just to feed the family.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so that's so very important when we're talking about the global climate, which is real, you know, and then we're talking about, like I said, like the big footprint, and we're talking about First Nation people, plenty of. Then we're talking about industries as well. We're talking about farmers and miners. But you're talking about the connectivity with Wi-Fi and what have you. Mm-hmm. Opens up a lot of doors, and education and health and what have you. I mean, health is a big industry. So opportunities for businesses as well, and especially Indigenous businesses. And we need, like, procurement support in regarding businesses that create jobs, you know. That's a very important space too, isn't it?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And when I was in Lockhart River last, I met with David Clark, the CEO there, and he was telling me how the Lockhart River Council is now delivering all of the projects. So a whole lot of small industries have popped up around that, little subcontractors, and there's a functioning full economy going on in Lockhart River, and that's great.
Sure, you know, exactly.
It's giving people ambition and aspiration, and you know, I do this and we get that, and I've built that house,
sure,
or I've built that road, and that's ownership. A really powerful thing, particularly when you are living in a small community away from those bigger cities. And I commend Lockhart on what they've managed to achieve there in that respect. It's a really great news story, and I don't think it's being told enough, to be honest.
Sure, there it is. Well, we're telling it here on National Talk Black. Fantastic. If we're listeners just tuned in, I'm Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, with your daily program, National Talk Black. Having a yarn with the candidate for Leichhardt, Labour candidate, that is, Matt Smith, former Taipans player, but he slammed Duncan this journey in regard to work that he's doing as campaigning and working with our mob up there and talking to the farmers as well as the mines, mine companies up there, especially Weipa. There's a great opportunity in employment as well when you're talking about the mining company.
Oh, look, the mines are going to play a massive part in the future of Cape York, as they always have. I was up in Weipa a couple of weeks ago, just before Easter.
Yes.
I might be the only man in history to go to Weipa and not catch a fish.
Shut up. Should be promoting that.
I was fishing off the bridge with a hand line. It was an 80-pound hand line. If I'd have caught something, it was going to be the biggest thing that had ever happened. But, yeah, couldn't get it done. Look,
I'm picturing going to Weipa next time with a carton of dynamite.
Oh, yeah, no. next time I'm in Weipa, I'm coming back with a fish.
There's the goal. There's the goal. So we're coming to Saturday, which is the actual voting day. And then we'll find out Saturday night, if not Sunday morning, whether or not you're the next candidate, well, next man sitting in the job for Leichhardt. The vision is good. You're feeling confident, or how are you sitting with this, brother?
Look, confidence is a strong word. We're doing the work.
Okay.
You know, we're getting out there. We're talking to as many people as possible. Coming from a sporting background, you've got a process.
Sure.
You do your process, and then provided you've done everything you can do, you live with the results. And
sure.
That's kind of where I am. What I do want to say to the listeners is that, you know, look, should I be elected, I will hit every single community on the Cape before Christmas.
Lovely.
I will be in, speak to, you know, elected representatives, the elders, community members, whoever wants to have a chat to me.
Yes.
You will see me on the ground. I will be available, and together we can talk about where we want to go, and it's my job to help us get there.
All right, fantastic. Well, good yarning with you, my brother. All the best. Enjoy the journey. May the best man win, but thank you for being you, Matt
Thanks,
Smith.
Mate. Appreciate
it. Beautiful. So good yarn there with the candidate for Leichhardt, and that's up in this area, far north Queensland. And look, a big shout out to Warren Inch, who has been there for 30-odd years in that seat and stepping down, and now opens up a new platform for the next Member of Parliament. And Matt Smith is thinking he's the man. So there it is. Have your say and have your yarn. And to all your daily mob out there, if you come across the candidates, pull them up, have a yarn, you know. It's about conversation, and tell them how you really feel, tell them what you need done, and make them stand up to it. There it is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of Mornington Island, the past, Kuna-na. Present and emerging, Kuna-na. And my deepest respect to all the elders of this island. Lado, Lado. Mornington Island, Mornington Island, let's go, let's go. Every time we go, boy, out on a wall bar. Yeah, Mornington Island, this is our home. The place so many waters I see. This is where I'm meant to be.
This is where I'm meant to be. that dindy manda and dangle manda. And there's a place where they stay on top of the island. Dindy manda, from the side to the west. They are short and unseen people. They belong to this land. They are two different tribes. There's so many history we can't explain from our old people who will never give away. This is our home.
Mornington Island, Gunana.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning service, BBM 98.7.
Yeah, thank you, Guy Sebastian. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong here. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumper Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, two deadly, going to have a deadly yarn now with Uncle, or I will say Doctor, Dr. Daryl Murga, honouring a far north cultural pioneer that he is. And he was noted as a doctor 4 years ago in the work he does as the archaeologist, and got him in the studio with me. And a very good morning, Dr. Daryl.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you, my brother?
Very good.
Good, good, fantastic. Well. Before you start, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
My mob, Kingandji, I'm an elder from Yarraba.
Yes.
My language name is Nyumbanji, which means Bell's Peak.
Bell's Peak?
Bell's Peak. Just looking out your window here, right down the bottom hand there.
Yes.
So you got two Bell's Peak, one's in the north, one's in the south. Nyumbanji is the one in the south that I'm named after.
You're named after.
And straight from down from that is where I grew up.
All right,
born.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Nyumbanji.
Okay. Uncle, you've been stated as named as a doctor in the work that you've done as the archaeologist. So tell us your journey as an archaeologist.
Well, it goes right back, Trevor. If you don't mind, I'll take you right back to my primary school day when I went to school in Bibenda.
Okay, so, Bibenda, yep.
Yeah, so that's where it all started from. Basically, as you know, I was born and bred in Yarraba.
Mm.
But at that time, there was a thing called exemption, where Aboriginal people were removed, you know, to certain areas.
Mm.
So when they got married, when Dad and Mum first met and got married, they were exempted from Yarraba and had to move to Mirrawinni.
Mirrawinni.
Yeah, and then my brother's sister, a couple of other brother and sister went down to Mirrawinni, where Dad started his job. Like many of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, they worked on the cane farm.
They did, yes.
Yeah, and they were like the backbone of the sugarcane industry back in those days, you
know? Yep.
And most of them are still are today.
Exactly
so,
right.
Mirrawinni,
so Dad was working on sugarcane farms?
Dad was a sugarcane cutter.
How many siblings you got? How many brothers and sisters,
well,
Uncle?
I'm the eldest.
Yep.
Well, I've got another brother named Terry, myself. Vic the boy, who's deceased.
Okay.
Vicky, my sister, deceased.
Mm.
And you got Matthew, Garth, and Ian. They're the three other brothers that are alive, yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
But during that time, sugarcane industry wasn't like it was today.
Yes.
Where you got modern day machinery like harvesters cutting cane.
Mm.
I used to watch my father cut cane from early morning in the dark with a cane knife, right through to late at night. And it was called shoulder loading. You know, when you cut cane, you cut the full piece cane.
Yep.
There was no harvester to cut it up. So you were shoulder loading your full piece cane and just top them off and place them in the drill. So it was hard those days, and cane was actually burnt. You know, they had big, huge cane fires that you don't hardly see today.
Yeah, that's right.
But during that cane, burning of the cane, the reason is to make the job easier for the harvesters and for the cane cutters to get in there, you know, because today harvesters can cut through trash and everything now like that, you know.
Yeah.
They're too modern today. But back in those days, they faced a lot of illness too during that burnt sugar cane, because there was a thing called wheel disease.
Wheel disease
is caused by the rats when they urinate on the sugar cane.
Yes.
And when you have cane cutters with their open scratch, you know, from Hairy Mary. Hairy Mary will scratch them and all those kind of thing, or cuts and that. Once the urine gets into the cuts, it causes them big illnesses, you know, that they get sick, really
and fatal,
sick.
Fatal.
Yes.
That would have killed a lot of workers.
Everyone knows it as Wheels disease.
Wheels disease.
Yeah, and it's been caused by rat's urine, you know.
Exactly.
So then as it eventually went on, then came the modern-day harvesters where they were cutting green and all that kind of stuff. But from sugarcane to you know, I'm long story short now cutting to...
Did you finish school?
I went back in those days. All my brothers and sisters only went to grade 10.
Grade 10.
Because at that time there's only grade 10s. There was no, 11th or 12th. Or
at Bibinda?
At Bibinda.
High school, yep.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to Cairns then?
Well, some people went to Cairns, some went to Innisfail.
Innisfail was closer. Thank you, halfway, yes.
But because of grade 10, and there's only two industries in Bibinda. The sugarcane industry was the biggest. And as you may know, they had a huge sugar mill right on the highway there.
Yes.
Bibinda Central Mill. So it's no longer there now.
Okay, yes,
but
that's
it
right.
It was a lifeline of Bibinda. It was the main industry where all the workers, married men, single men, apprentices would come straight out of school.
So did you do some work there, did you?
I went straight up into, after grade 10, I went straight up into what they call the pan stage, where they actually boiled sugar.
Okay.
So it's the highest point of the mill.
Yes.
So what we do is actually boil syrup, molasses, and we create a sugar inside the vats. And there's about 9 big vats in the top of the sugar boiler, you know, floor.
Yes.
So once we start putting the grain in the sugar, and then through extraction, we extract all the liquid or syrups out of the sugar.
Yes.
And then we drop that down to the fugles, what they call the fugles.
Yes.
And the fugles is like a great big washing machine. And it's just a series of washing machines that spins the sugar and syrup around together. And all that's left in the basin, the drums, is raw sugar. And the raw sugar then goes up into the conveyor belts.
Yep.
And that's raw sugar. And because Bibinda didn't have a refinery, all that raw sugar was then shipped to Cairns by road transport, down where the sugar terminal is now.
Where it is now,
and then it was shipped off to Bundaberg to be refined, as you see it in the white sugar today.
And how many years did you work there?
Probably only 5 or 6 years up under a pan stage, and then I went tried my hand out at bin hauling, where they had roll on, roll off, you know, push bins.
Bush bins.
Yeah, so
roll for on, sugar cane.
Yeah, for sugar cane. Yeah. It was a hardship days then.
Yep.
Because even in the out in the pouring rain, you're pushing sugar bins up, you know, up on these trailers.
Yeah.
And if you get it wrong or you slip, as dangerous. I did a couple of times.
Dangerous.
Yeah, the full bin can roll back,
on top of you.
And roll back down the line and kill you.
Yeah,
you
know? Sure.
So you have to be very careful. But today's modern day bin driver, it's all air conditioned.
Travel the style now, eh?
I just wish I had the opportunity.
This is Charlie Pride.
I just wish I had the opportunity to sit in a or drive a bin tractor like they have today. But I did go for a ride with my nephew one day, and it's just like sitting in comfort.
Air-conditioned comfort.
Yeah.
To our Deadly listener that just tuned in, Trinity Trevor here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with Uncle Daryl Murga, or we will say Dr. Daryl Murga, is our conversation after 4 years. He'd been appointed as a doctor. And talking about his journey, so working in the sugarcane industry, when did you step an archaeologist? How'd that happen?
Well, from after leaving Bibenda, I decided to go to Brisbane, you know, because I was sort of didn't want to do sugarcane for the rest of my life, you know.
Mm.
And then there was Mum and Dad saying, oh, look, you should do something with your life, because I had a pretty good junior pass, you know, grade 10 pass,
yep.
which enabled me to do further studies.
Yes.
So I went to Brisbane. I did 1 year at the Anthropology Museum.
Yes.
That's in St. Lucia University.
Yes.
And that's just basically doing research on all Aboriginal tribes throughout Australia.
Okay.
Their cultures and all that.
And that's where your passion started.
That's where my passion started.
Yep.
And it was a good chance to get away from home.
Yeah.
But it also taught me a lot about commuting from a country boy, from a bush boy, like
yes,
sugarcane boy, to
city,
out in the end of the city.
Yeah.
I learned how to communicate, to commute.
Mm.
Certain, I don't know if you've been to Roma Street Railway Station, all the big stations, all you see is these bright coloured lights,
yep.
and you don't know what they mean. You know? So having, you know, to understand that with the bus timetable, train time.
Take the Murray out of the bush and put him
Murray
in the city.
Murray from the Curry.
Murray from the Curry and put him
but
in the city.
But yeah, I had to understand all these communications.
Sure.
How to commute.
Yes.
But once I did that, I did 1 year, like I say, Avenue Research at the Mickey Building in St. Lucia University.
Mm.
After 1 year completed, I was encouraged by Professor Bruce Rigsby. He's a white guy and he's a linguist, German linguist.
Mm.
He could speak all these Aboriginal languages right through up to Cape York.
Yeah, beautiful.
And he encouraged me. He was a good old man, you know.
Yes.
And he encouraged me. Look, he said, Daryl, now that you went through your research, he said, I can't force you to do anything, but he said, I, you know, recommend that you might think about sitting for a bachelor's degree in archaeology and anthropology.
Yes.
And because I was still down at the time, maybe around Christmas, I came out to visit my family, Mum and all that, Dad and my brother and sisters, and I came straight back. I didn't say...
You made the decision.
Yeah, I made the decision.
You're going to go back and
I'm
do your...
I'm going to go back. Yep. If I would have stayed there up north, I wouldn't be here where I am
well,
today.
Well, exactly, yep.
Yeah, so I decided to go back, and when I went back, I sat for my first year Archaeology and Anthropology 101.
Yes.
Yeah, and so from there, I went right through... But not only doing theory work.
So archaeology, just to paint a picture, that's a study of bones.
That's study of material, tangible. That's all tangible.
Tangible stuff. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Tangible.
It could be dirt, rock, trees.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
So anything that you can see, feel, and touch, they're all tangible evidence.
Okay, thank you.
Like for example, if you find a stone axe and stone tool like that, flakes and all that, those things that you can touch.
Touch it. That's tangible.
But because I did anthropology, it's the intangible. So you got the stories then.
Yes.
So the old people pass stories down.
Yes.
And that's intangible evidence. So when you get two together...
So you would have seen it from a cultural aspect, but as well as a scientific aspect.
And plus I see the traditional aspect.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I just wanted to know because in my time of growing up, Dad was a hunter.
Mm.
You know, we always used to chase, even my brothers, we used to chase wild pigs around, cassowaries and all that, you know, scrub ends and all that kind of thing, going hunting in a bush.
Mm.
And when we walk past a few places, I'd notice there'd be a carving in a tree or grooves in these rocks. And I knew just by looking at them, they weren't sort of like natural.
Mm.
They were actually man-made. And
sure.
I used to ask Dad, I said, Dad, what do these rocks mean? What do these grooves mean? And he'd say, oh, son, old people been here. But Dad didn't have the really...
in-depth conversation
story about
to talk
what
to you
it is.
About it. Exactly.
Dad used to say, oh, just old people.
Yeah.
But me being, you know, curious and wanted to find out more,
yeah, sure.
because it's related to culture of our people, I wanted to delve more into the way of...
It was a book with a page open.
It was a book with a page open,
and you wanted to dig further, go back to the beginning of the page.
I wanted to go back to the beginning.
And bring it to life.
Yeah, because as you know, with traditional cultural, we're traditional scientists, right?
We
come from
are.
Traditional scientists.
Yes, we are, yep.
And then I wanted to find out through westernised signs through archaeology, how those things were made.
Yep.
So I combined the two. And then when you combine the two, you can't have one without the other, so I had to have the story to go with it.
Beautiful.
So intangible evidence. So my old people would say, oh, look, your mother or your great-mother, your grandmother was born down on a river bank there underneath that big blue gum, you know, because they didn't have hospitals back in those days. You know?
No, they didn't, exactly.
You know, they didn't have hospitals.
Yep.
So that's why you get a lot of birthing trees.
Birthing trees, of course,
that's
exactly.
That's very important to mothers.
Yep.
And that relates to women's business, you know.
Mm.
So when you go out on country, that's another very important community protocol you got to understand. It's men's business and women's business.
True.
So women's business, like birthing tree, is very important. So understanding all these sites, for example, archaeology, anthropology, geology, and now that I've been on the Barrier Reef, marine biology.
Marine biology,
you know,
exactly.
With Great Adventures.
Yep.
So all these things.
And all the scientists of the world, through the universities and what have you, a lot of scientific education in the white man world are now reaching out for our black culture and our black, cultural information.
Exactly right, Trevor.
And that, because we're professors from all industries, are we not?
We go
60,000 years.
We go way back to.
So we've got a bit of knack about it, a bit of knowledge, don't we, that they're naive to.
That's exactly right, Trevor. And then, you know, like going back, I wanted to, like I say, go back and understand the modern technology or science of making a stone axe, for example. How did you get stone axe sharpened? So I decided to do a study on geology.
Yes.
So there's so many different types of rocks, you know.
Yes.
And certain rocks are used for certain purposes.
Sure.
And some rocks are very sacred, you know.
Exactly.
So you've got to understand the sacred side of rocks.
Yes.
Some are used in, like, bad ways, some are used good ways.
Sure.
But understanding geology and how that fits in with tangible tool making, you know, because you just can't make stone axe out of any sort of rocks.
No.
It's a certain rock.
Certain
like
rock,
a
certain tree, whatever, plant.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we're talking bush tucker.
Yeah, you're
then
talking
we're talking bush medicine.
Yeah, and you just can't make fire out of any sort of fire stick.
Thank you, yes.
Because it's all a selective process.
Yes.
And that's been handed down to us by our forefathers.
Generations,
you know?
Our forefathers.
So you just can't go and cut any piece of stick and hope you're going to make fire. It don't work that way. It's a traditional knowledge that's been handed down and handed on to us, and we still practice that today.
Yes.
For all of us here. In this, for example, Cairns region, as an example, we all practice that even today, you know.
Of course we
without
do.
Looking at the big picture of Australia.
Well, exactly. And we're talking about how you've been named, appointed as a doctor 4 years ago. But if you look at it, you've been a doctor all your life, and a lot of our people are professors in that field.
Yeah, and
without the so-called title.
Yeah, that's
we're
exactly
full of knowledge,
right, Trevor.
You know?
And I take a lot of people, especially first and foremost, my father.
Yes.
That taught me about culture.
Thank you.
You know, how to hunt and track.
And your father's name?
Victor Merger. Yeah, Victor William Danton Merger.
Is that in spirit?
Yeah, and he.
And mum's name?
Mum's Marlene.
Marlene.
Lovely. Lynette, Merger, was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mum and dad taught me a lot.
Yes.
But down the track, the main thing that were taught to us is, which I don't see today in much young culture, is respect.
Yeah.
Respect, you know, because
we've lost that, have we?
We lost the respect.
Sad to hear that, Uncle. When you say that as an elder, it's sad to hear that.
Yeah,
that we've lost that respect.
Yeah, we lost that. I just got to go to school today and see, you know, how some of our students act to, you know, like to the teachers.
Sure.
And back in our days, when we were going to schools, I'm not saying we were perfect.
No,
I mean,
but
I was used to misbehave in classes. Sometimes in class as a classroom clown, but as you go on, you learn, you know.
Yes.
And the teachers are there for a purpose to teach you.
You may misbehave, but you always have respect for your teachers.
Oh, our teachers
what you're
were
saying.
The first one, you know. You go to
and
school,
respect for your elders and your mother, father, and your elder people, black and
certain,
white, whatever.
There were certain teachers that we didn't like, you know. But through the day, you know, you just can't go and wag school because of a teacher. You have to face them and say, look, if you want to be good at math, you got to face your fear of math. Well, I didn't like math when I was going to school.
Sure.
And I didn't like my math teacher because she was quite strict. But as time went on, I've learned.
Alert. And there's the word of spirit. When you look at here we are, 2025, a lot of like youth crime is very high. Yeah. Now, not all youth crime is black kids, but what I'm saying is a lot of our black kids who are doing youth crime have lost that respect for that person in the mirror, lost respect for that elder, their mother and father, or their grandparents,
and
or
their
culture, and, the, and their teachers.
And their teachers. Teachers all are the most important, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brother Powerful, so look, congratulations. Thank you. It's good to have a yarn and walk a mile in your moccasins, Uncle. 4 years nominated, stated as a doctor. And so, Uncle, you travel around. When you introduce yourself, people know you as Uncle Darryl.
Yeah.
But you tell them Dr. Darryl as well? You put that word out there? I mean,
where I work today, like in Gurney, anywhere around Cairns, even where a place where I live now in Gordonvale, as soon as they see me, it's always Uncle.
Uncle
first.
Which is a good respectful title anyway.
Yeah, which I respect.
Yes.
Maybe because I look old and grey and all
that. Not all. Because of your wisdom,
that's why. Yeah, words of wisdom, yeah. But even like to see non-Indigenous people that I don't even know.
Yeah.
Out of the blue just all call me Uncle.
Yeah.
Even the new doctors and nurses where I come from in Gurney.
Yep.
Always Uncle. And I appreciate that because it's a sign of respect.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get the title of the doctor.
Yep.
I get called doctor. But to me, that
and
doesn't
matter. And it's nice to be acknowledged as a doctor.
But I always remain humble. I don't push the issue.
Yeah.
Although I got that
You
title.
Don't big nature crack.
No, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't say, look, you call me doctor.
Yeah, sure.
I've been a humble person all my life. And whatever people call me, which I like the word uncle as a very respected thing.
Yep.
I appreciate that and accept that.
Okay.
Doctor will come later on with certain people.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Uncle Doctor, I thank you very much.
No worries,
for your
brother.
Yarn today. And I also want to thank you for your connection with the organisation I work with in Experience Co, Reef Unlimited, Dreamtime Dive and Snorkel. You are one of the elders that we communicate with in regarding our education for our young people working in the tourist industry. So thank you for that space as well. And thank you for your input. And thank you for being you, Uncle.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Trevor, too, that that official opening of that Barrier Reef Guardian.
Yes.
That was shown just recently.
Yes, yes.
Reef Builders. Reef Builders, sorry.
Yeah, fantastic.
That was a really good documentary.
Sure.
And it went worldwide.
Yes.
But it also showcased, like, my nephew, Brian Merger.
Yeah, Brian Shatner. Big shout out.
Shatner. But all these, like, those four Kangandji people have made that documentary.
Yes.
You know, and it's gone worldwide now.
It has gone worldwide.
So it's gone, like, this kind of thing by working together.
Yes.
With scientists.
With scientists.
And marine biologists, which are our scientists, and our traditional scientists.
Traditional scientists, traditional owners.
And we
working
all
on sea country.
Yes.
Working as both professors and doctors from their field, working together.
For the purpose of recreating a new reef system and a new fish habitat. So when you've got a healthy reef system.
The reef. Yes.
Yeah, if you've got a new reef habitat, you've got beautiful, healthy people.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know.
Exactly.
And the story is attached to that, as you know, with our song lines.
Yes.
Our song lines, like I mentioned before, it's a very strong thing when we sing about the Great Barrier Reef, you know.
Yeah.
We have people in the community that sing about song lines.
Mm.
And you can name quite a lot that you play on Bummer Grip. I hear them all the time singing.
Yeah, exactly, my brother.
No worries.
Thank you for your yarn. All the best. We'll keep in touch.
I certainly will, my brother.
And you take care, Uncle.
You take care too, my brother.
Beautiful. A beautiful yarn with Dr. Darryl Merger. We know him as Uncle, and Gurganji Elder, Traditional Owner, and Gurney Yalamaka Health Service Aboriginal Corporation Cultural Heritage Specialist. A big title too, Del, and big shout out to Gurney. Thank you very much for allowing you to share this beautiful man's spirit and education and knowledge. And yeah, he's a true doctor in all facets. But thank you for your company, your mob, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, about the sign off here for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow, that Delhi number 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your time. Stay tuned for the news coming up via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And a big shout out to the NERS team and big shout out to First Nation radio stations across this big island, Australia. Thank you for the work that you do, and it's too deadly. So stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon. And a big shout out to my good, beautiful friend, big, tall Miglu Murray, I call him, and that's Paulie Harris. Hope you're well, Paulie, and we'll catch up soon. Too deadly. Yeah.
sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Frisco Bay, 'cause I had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, still wasting time. Nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same.
Tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same.